Well, it's good to be here back in Martyrs. I always feel at home back in this pulpit again and fellowshipping with you in the gospel. And we rejoice in what the Lord is continuing to do here. I always feel at home in the Ravenhill Road. I spent many happy years on the Ravenhill Road. I have to be careful about that, of course, because I have had many happy years since, because I was here on the Ravenhill Road until I was married. And then I moved away. I've had happy years, over 40 of them, in fact, since I moved away. It's unbelievable that last year I celebrated 40 years in the ministry. I know I don't look that old, but I can tell you it's beginning to take its toll. Well, we're reading together some verses from the Word of God tonight in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40, and reading together from the verse 26. Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 26. Let us hear the word of God tonight. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name, and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to focus upon the verse right at the end of this chapter 40 of Isaiah. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You cannot read this chapter of God's word, and what a chapter it is, without thinking about the greatness of our God. So many verses in this chapter cause us to marvel at this. For example, his position. The one who sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Verse 22. The creator of the ends of the earth. Verse 28. And what a position he occupies. And then we can think of his power. Think of the words at the end of verse 9. Behold your God. Again, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with the strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. And you see the term behold that is used in relation to the Lord. Twice alone in this verse. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, that spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high, behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by the names of the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. And these are but examples in this great chapter of the words that are used to describe the power of the God of heaven. Almighty power. Omnipotent power. For he is the all-powerful God. And his power is displayed and demonstrated in so many ways. In creation. And in all the various facets of it. And how marvelous this is.
We are filled with wonder when we consider all of these things. But also his power comes down to you and to me. We are not left out, because the Bible teaches us in Psalm 40 and verse 17, the Lord thinketh upon me. You see, we are in the thoughts of God, even to such an extent that he seeks to help us, and he seeks to draw alongside us and to minister to us and to aid us in our power of need, in our time of need. Look at verse 29 of the passage. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. How good it is to have physical strength in any form for a period of time during the course of our lives. Mental strength also is a noble possession. But my friend, spiritual strength is something that we all seek and we all so desperately need. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We need the power of God in our lives continually from day to day. It is true that the most devout person can grow lukewarm. The strongest believer can doubt. The most devout and dedicated Christian can backslide. It is heavenly strength that we need. We need the power of God. We can wax weak and we can faint. We can become weary. We can fail, and we do so often, and we can falter and even fall. What an answer there is to our weakness and to the fainting and faltering. It is God's answer to our weakness. And God's answer to our weakness is set before us in this text of Scripture, this wonderful text in God's Word that I want to leave with you tonight. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Four things that I want to simply leave with you from this text of God's Word tonight. First of all, it relates to supplication. They that wait upon the Lord. And the Church of Jesus Christ in many aspects has become weak in the place of prayer. And prayerlessness on many occasions has overtaken the church. We may be strong in so many other ways, and yet weak in the place of prayer. And that weakness, nothing else can compensate for it. The Lord recognized this weakness in those disciples that were with him in the garden. You remember Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Weakness in the place of prayer. And even those who were in closest contact and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry had this weakness, Peter and James and John. And you and I too have this weakness in prayer. And those disciples there in the 26th chapter of Matthew, they were challenged by the words of Christ, "Tarry ye here and watch with me." And again, he found them sleeping. And again, he came to them with those words, and he said, "What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour?" And yet again, those words, "Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation." Weakness in the place of prayer. Fainting in the place of prayer. Was there not this weakness in the church at Ephesus? In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, the Lord said to them, "I have somewhat against thee, in that thou hast left thy first love." Again, in the 3rd chapter of Revelation, relating to the church at Laodicea, their lukewarmness. Is it not so with us today? Was there not that weakness in the Old Testament there with that mighty man, Samson? The Bible tells us he was left weak as other men. He lost his strength. And you know, there's something significant there, that through all that course of the life of Samson and all that he was achieving and all that he was accomplishing, he never prayed. It wasn't until the end of his days, when he was grinding in the prison house and in desperation, that he cried unto the Lord in Judges 16, verse 28, for the Lord to remember him. And the cure for weakness in our lives as believers and in the life of the church is waiting upon the Lord, seeking the face of God. The Bible says here, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Verse 29. How the disciples benefited from being on that mountain of transfiguration, being in the presence of Christ, in the place of prayer. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. A means of dealing with our weaknesses. And the church in the Acts of the Apostles were conscious of their weakness, and they waited upon the Lord. Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 12, and many other portions throughout the Acts of the Apostles indicate to us that the church went forward by means of prayer. Are we not conscious of our weakness tonight? Many times we've fainted, and neglect of prayer is common in the homes of the Lord's people, and the family altar has been broken down, and the altar of prayer needs to be repaired in our homes and in our lives and in our churches. They that wait upon the Lord. And when we think about waiting upon the Lord, there are some significant things that we need to think about. Simple things, but yet very important things. There's first of all that of patience. We need patience. You think of that waiting that Elijah did there in 1 Kings 18. All the time when the servant was going and coming back and forward, looking toward the sea, all that time Elijah was waiting, with his face between his knees. He was before the Lord in prayer. All that time, when the servant said, there is nothing, he waited. He waited. And God requires us, dear friends, to exercise patience in prayer. Dear man rang me from one of our churches just recently there, knew well that I knew his son. And he said to me, Alan, I want to tell you, mentioning his son's name, he got saved. He came in this morning, just a few weeks ago, and said, Da. I always referred to him as Da. Da, I got saved. I got saved. Over 50 years that man been praying for his son. Over 50 years. And now his son has got saved. Patience in prayer. But then there's persistence. Waiting involves, you see, asking and seeking and knocking. The spirit of importunity that's mentioned there in the 11th chapter of Luke. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Spirit of persistence, he mentioned too there with that widow in Luke 18 and 5. Because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Bible says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Persistence. Jacob and his persistency in Genesis 32, wrestling until the break of day. May God help us to be persistent in prayer. But then there's pleading. Waiting upon the Lord involves pleading. pleading before the Lord. Jacob pleaded. What did he plead before the Lord? He pleaded in Genesis chapter 32, verse 26, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. You can trace the pleadings of David through the book of Psalms. And in the Psalter, we see David pleading in times of great weakness, in times when it seems his strength would never return. He waited upon the Lord. That great Psalm, Psalm 27. What an example of pleading it is by David. The exhortation at the end of that psalm in verse 14 of Psalm 27, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But oh, my friend, the greatest example of pleading is the pleadings of our Savior. In the garden, Gethsemane and Golgotha, on many other occasions, when he lifted his heart to his Father in heaven, the prayer ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, what a ministry that was! A ministry of communion with the Father, a ministry of pleading as he waited with his Father. And if the Lord Jesus Christ needed to do that, how much more do you and I need to do it? May that wait upon the Lord. Second thing is strength. Supplication, but strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We are human, and we need our strength renewed. Even those saints that wait upon God for everything may grow faint. They require reviving. The best and bravest of the saints are poor creatures. You think about Elijah. What a great servant he was. He'd seen fire come down from heaven. The prophets of Baal overthrown. You see, he had saw the rain come down, the sound of abundance of rain, the great rain. See him gird up his loins and run before the chariot of Ahab. He was a champion, he was a hero amongst the Israelites. Within a very short time of him being on the mountaintop, he was in the valley. You read 1 Kings chapter 19. And what did he say? O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And you know, there are many people who would look at Elijah and blame him and say, why did he get into such a state after having such blessing and knowing such favor and fullness from the hand of God? This man was exhausted. He suffers a great reaction, a terrible reaction, I should say. He feels faint. He's depressed. He's down in the dumps. Maybe you're feeling like that tonight. There are many people, even during these times, are feeling like that. I've been visiting people, and I know Mr. Brown has as well, in contact with people. They're mentally affected by all that's going on. Depressed, cast down, discouraged, disconsolate, greatly distressed, feeling faint, and maybe that's the point that you're at tonight. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We're only human. We are imperfect. David said, I am this day weak, though anointed king. But what a blessing it is that the feeling, flagging, fainting spirits that we often have can be renewed by waiting upon the Lord. Our strength can be renewed. Even those who actually fall shall be recovered. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. A And brethren and sisters, tonight, no doubt I'm addressing some who've become weak and failing and need their strength renewed. The Lord would not have us to utterly fail, but the Lord would come along to increase our strength, to renew our strength. We live in an evil day when Satan is attacking the mind of the Christian on many, many occasions, and people are suffering greatly from mental distress and mental illness. More and more in society today, it's happening more and more. I was about to just take a few hours off on Saturday. I got a call to my phone and a very serious situation. I had immediately just go to that situation. My friend, people are suffering greatly from mental illness. It's an evil day for the child of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and strength renewed to serve the Lord with all our hearts. And the Lord will renew our strength. And then it talks here not only about supplication and about strength, but it speaks about the soaring. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. Soaring like the eagle. And what a sight to behold is the eagle in its flight. Soaring into the heavenlies above the earth as it spreads its wings and takes its flight. A majestic, a magnificent sight. The hymn writer penned those words, lift us, Lord, O lift us higher, from the carnal mind set free, fill us with refining fire, give us perfect liberty. Oh, that we might be lifted above the world, above its affections and lusts, unto that higher plane with God, that as Paul says there in Colossians 3 and verse 2, that we might set our affections or our mind upon things above and not on things of this earth. You know, it's so easy for us, and it happens to us all, to be taken up with the things of time and sense, to the detriment of our communion and fellowship with the Lord. As our strength is renewed, or changed, or exchanged, as the thought is, as taking off the old clothing and putting on the new, we exchange our weakness for his power. And his strength is made perfect in our weakness, because his grace is sufficient for us. As we wait before the Lord, God enables us to soar when there is a crisis. The Word of God says there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Raised us up. The place the eagle soars to, the heavenlies, we need to soar there in a spiritual sense. And this strength imparted to us enables us to do this. The power displayed by the eagle as it spreads its wings is mentioned there in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11. The spreading of the eagle's wings, the stirring of the eagle, the stirring of the nest, the protection of the eagle's young by her great wings. And so the Lord empowers us to rise from earth. Moses uses the image of the eagle to illustrate God's care for his people. If you note there in Deuteronomy 32 verses 12 to 13, at a certain stage in the lives of the young, the parents destroy the nest, force the young to fly. This is the eagle. And to make sure the young don't fall, the adult birds stay close to the young as they try their wings out, flying beneath them and even carrying them in their strong claws. It's a beautiful picture, my friend,
of the difficult process of maturity that God puts us all through, that we might fly or soar into heavenly places, that we might be raised onto a higher plane with God. May God help us to soar like the eagle tonight and in days to come, that we might mount up with wings as eagles. Supplication, the strength, the soaring. But I want you to think finally about the stamina. Because it says here that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. God will cause us by the renewing of our strength to run when the challenges are many. Again, there's the image of the race. Hebrews 12:1. To run the race that is set before us, laying aside the weights, the sins that do so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Running and not being weary. That's not a natural thing. I can hardly run the length of myself now without being weary. Some of us may be at the point of collapse after a very, very short distance. A few years back, I thought, when the young people were playing some sport at the annual barbecue at our youth fellowship, that I would have a go with the football. Well, it was a bad idea. It was a bad idea. We get weary very quickly. What strength the Lord gives to his people to run with patience the race that is set before us, to obtain the prize, running that we might obtain, to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Running and not be weary. Walk and not faint. The Lord causes us to walk faithfully in the day-by-day demands of life. It's much harder to walk in the ordinary pressures of life than to fly like an eagle in the time of crisis. William Carey said this, I can plod. He was the father of modern missions, the great missionary of the gospel. He said, this is my only genius. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this I owe everything. Here's a plodder, a man who would walk with God and did walk with God. And you know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. I have a friend in Canada. If I mentioned his name, you would know him right away, but he keeps messaging me. He's got a job over there now. He said, I've done so many steps today. So many kilometers. I thought to myself, you're going to be really fit by the time a few days have passed. And you know, 1,000 miles begins with one step. And the greatest heroes of the faith are not always those who seem to be soaring. Often, it's those who are patiently plodding. As we wait on the Lord, he enables us not only to fly higher and to run faster, but also to walk longer. Blessed are the plodders, for they eventually arrive at the destination. Enoch walked with God. And you think about the commencement of his walk, and you think about the continuation of his walk, but you think about the conclusion of his walk. And God took him. And that's where the walk of the Christian brings us to. That great day when we stand before God and when we are taken into his presence and we enjoy the presence of the Lord. But in the meanwhile, may we endure to the end. He that endureth to the end shall be saved.
keep on going on with God in our weakness. God supplies his strength. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. May his strength be made perfect in our weakness tonight. God's answer to our weakness. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight.